The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Rob, and I'm from Methuen, Massachusetts, and I'm with Mike and Michelle here, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 448 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and Becky Menken of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel as we continue our discussion on the many things that you can do in Walt Disney World and in Disneyland when it comes to luxury. Now, let's get back to our discussion. I think that the hotels, when we talked about all these places to stay, I'm guessing that the listeners out there were all pretty much leaning towards a lot of the places that we were talking about. But when we turn to dining, I think it's a little bit different because over the last 5 years, the Disney dining experience, and that by that I mean the restaurants and the eating establishments and all the choices and all the options, has just exploded. It has changed. It has morphed. And what we would have discussed 5 years ago may not be the same. So regarding that transition that I'm trying to make, I'd like to turn this conversation to a decadent dining experience. And for that, I'd like to turn to Mr. Chris Eliopoulos.
Hello.
For his take on, you know, where in Walt Disney World, Chris, would you start talking about a dining experience that is on the decadent level?
Well, you know, everybody always talks about the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's. I've never gone. Have any of you ever gone and done that one?
I would love to go. I haven't gone.
Yes.
Yes, you have?
Yes. I've done it 3 times.
Really?
Oh, it is.
Yeah. 3 times and you didn't invite me any of those times?
Or me.
Do you want to go next
time? You know where this friendship goes?
Well, if you come on a cruise, maybe we could talk about it.
Oh.
They don't have Victoria and Albert's on the cruise.
They have Paula.
Don't care.
I don't have Victoria's Secret either.
Well, that would be a plus.
That's a whole different podcast right there.
Well, we just totally took a left turn. For me, I do enjoy whatchamacallit, that place. You know that place I'm talking about?
So helpful to our listeners.
The California Grill. I love going up there and getting a window seat and waiting for the fireworks to come on. And, you know, you get up there a little early, you go to the bar, you sit and have a nice drink, and then you go and you sit by the window and you look, especially at sundown. The sky on a beautiful day is wonderful to view and see the changing colors of the sky. So for me, that's a pretty fun and decadent experience. So I do enjoy that one.
I can plus that.
How can you plus it? Tell me.
They do have a private room up there with the same general view of the Magic Kingdom that you can rent out separately for a different food and beverage minimum. And you can have that room all to yourself or all to yourself and your friends, like, I don't know, Mike, Michelle, and myself, and have dinner in a private room.
I'm sorry. I don't get invited to Victoria and Albert's. You're sitting out this one.
Thanks.
Let's go, Mike and Michelle.
Who's going to make the reservation?
That would
think,
be me.
Man, think.
Damn it. Foiled again.
What, is it the Napa room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of them. They do have several private rooms. One has a much better view than the others, but they are available for private events.
Love it. See, the more you know.
Sorry.
So... Well, I don't know. What, Michelle, where would you go for a nice decadent meal?
Well, you know, I used to say the Flying Fish, but since they changed the menu, yeah. I think where I would go, I love your idea. I think that would be my top choice. I would also go to Jico. I always feel like I'm spoiling myself a little bit. I think the wine there is amazing, and the food definitely is amazing too. So that would be on my list. Mike?
It's really funny because over the last 3 years...
Not funny, ha-ha.
It's okay. Just... I guess it's kind of odd that some of the restaurants that we would have chosen years ago, Flying Fish, Yachtsman Steakhouse.
Flying Fish?
You know, they've changed. And there have been new... La Cellier, yes. Thank you for that. There have been some changes over the years. And so a lot of those are now sort of second tier in some cases. So for me, it's really difficult because there are times when I'll say, you know, even though this one restaurant may be a signature restaurant, to me it's not a signature restaurant. So it's hard for me to choose a restaurant. But if I had to pick one, if I want to talk decadence, I'm going to start with California Grill. I think within the last year we ate there, Michelle, we sat someplace near where they do all the cooking. We had a very good meal. I don't know if it was a birthday meal. I remember. But that when they reopened that restaurant, I think it got a little bit better. And so I would put that in the top tier when I'm talking about a decadent restaurant for sure. California Grill.
Hmm.
What about you, Becky?
I have two other thoughts, and a couple of them are things that people don't normally think about. And again, I'm going to the decadent side, besides Victoria and Albert. And I know that we were joking about that a little bit, but it was purely for research purposes only.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, I was trying to make that fly.
That's why Chris has 400 R2-D2s in his closet for research purposes.
Yeah. I'll back him on that one. But it. That really is an amazing experience, and be ready to eat. It's much like Remy or Apollo on board the ship for those of you who have been smart enough to try it, Chris. It is a lot of food, but it's a lot of show, and it's amazing to watch the chefs and how they almost silently make all this magic in the kitchen. But there are also other chefs' table experiences too that have been on and off around the property. But my other one, which is more of something that a lot of people don't think about, but I did it a couple of years ago. My husband hadn't been to Disney World in quite some time, and it was our we were celebrating our anniversary because we are hardly ever together on our anniversary. So they do a private table for two on the second level at the Grand Floridian that overlooks the pool area. And you can do it out on the patio where they'll block it off. And then one of the servers from Victoria and Albert's actually serves you at your private table. And it's something that can be booked by anybody.
Do people walk by while you're, like, sitting there? Like, just regular people walking through the lobby?
Well, if you're... It's not... It's on the second level, and okay. It's... the third level. It's right above there. Oh. So it's away from the general masses, but it's open to the lobby if you're doing inside. We did inside because the weather was really bad outside. Otherwise, most people use the balcony that's out there, and then they actually close that off for you. So it's a private location. It's a really special location, just the two of you or the four of you or the six of you. I think it's up to six that they'll do out there. They had done before. So there's a lot of those types of opportunities all around property to plus it up and make it a little bit more decadent if you want to do something really special.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
So if we were going to go around, I'd like to go around the table before we leave this, before we leave the Walt Disney World dining experience, and I'm going to start off with you, Michelle. Can you name your three top decadent restaurants for Walt Disney World?
I haven't been to Victoria and Albert's. I would definitely put that on my list of I would like to do, but I would agree with everybody, California Grill and Chico. I have not been to Citrico's. Chris, I think you've been there, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. And I haven't been to, I always forget the Narcooses. I haven't been to Narcooses either. I think those are the only. Yeah, I know those are the only two restaurants.
I've never heard of it.
I've never been to. That's a reference that people are going to have to dig deeply to get.
Yes.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut. I think those are the only two restaurants I've never been to, and I don't know what folks think about those two, but anyway, to answer your question.
Okay.
I didn't really add much more than I already said.
Chris?
Three. Yeah, believe it or not, we actually do love Narcooses. And once we took Becky there.
Yes, you did. It's been a while.
My wife loves that place.
Is it decadent? It overlooks.
It does feel like that. It's, you know, you have spots over the Bay Lake, and you can see the fireworks from the restaurant, and you can sit outside. Sometimes they have the electric water parade that goes by, and the food is amazing. The bar is amazing, and the servers I've always found to be absolutely amazing. Did I say amazing yet? So we enjoy going there. That's our go to. The boys tend not to find anything they want to eat on the menu there, but I sure do. We actually love. There's a cheese platter that comes out. You can get as an appetizer that is just wonderful.
You're talking to the king of cheese platters here.
Yeah,
the queen, you mean?
No, and the king. Mike loves this cheese platter.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. So I do that. California Grill is another good one. I'm trying to think what, you know, it's so funny. It's not really decadent, but it's decadent in the sense that it's quiet, unassuming. You don't get a lot of people there. And that's actually the Cruise Cup, which is right next to the Yachtsman Steakhouse. We just love going in there. It's very simple food. It's not like decadent in the sense that you're going to get the high-end things. But you can go in there and have a nice quiet meal and be left alone for a little bit and watch a game on TV or something like that while you're sitting there. So like you said, Mike, we've been sort of falling out of love of a lot of restaurants. It used to be, like I said, La Cellier was the place to go.
Yes, it was.
And we loved to go there all the time. We would go crazy. And then we went to take Becky one time and they kicked us out. So we don't go back there anymore. But
it was not my fault.
Yes.
I just want you on record. It was not my fault.
Did they ever take down that YouTube video, by the way? I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
but even before then, it was starting getting iffy over there, too. I'm trying to think of – I like Via Napoli. Like, I mean, we're now, like, going down to, you know, lower level – I mean, the food's great, but it's, you know, it's a it's not a decadent place. The pizza's decadent, but, you know, we're sort of at that level now where – we're not finding the great places that we used to.
Rebecca.
Yes, Michael. I was thinking about one other, too, that, again, extremely decadent and so unique. Having a meal catered on the Grand One Yacht.
Ooh.
That is kind of an amazing, unique, fun thing to do, and it can be done at night during the fireworks cruises. It can also be done for lunch or for breakfast, where you can just take out the Grand One Yacht. I think it accommodates up to 12 or 13 people on board, so you can get a couple of families together to do it. But you can have brunch, like in a reception-style dinner, to birthday cakes, to just a big dessert platter can be done there too. So there's a lot of options on board the Grand One, and you can also on the pontoon boats that are a little bit smaller and less expensive, you can also have catering done on those as well.
Mm.
Wow, who knew?
That yacht was fun. We took us on there one time. It was good.
There's a reoccurring theme, and that is that none of us, and I haven't given mine yet, and mine will continue the theme. We have not picked a theme park restaurant, which is very interesting. No. Because like you said, Chris, you know, we're talking about La Cellier. You talk about, you know, the Brown Derby could have been one. There's a whole bunch of
restaurants. Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah, if you think back to the Brown Derby, remember when they used to have the phones that they would run around with, and they would plop that down, and there'd be a character, or one of the characters would come over and answer the phone and say it was for you, and you would talk on the phone. I mean, it was a whole different experience than it is now.
Many, many years ago. My three are kind of weird. Again, it's California Grill. And, you know, it's funny because when Chris was talking about Via Napoli and saying that's not decadent, it's like what Becky said early on in the show, and that is it's in the eye of the beholder. And so for me, I think about the offerings, and it's really hard because there's one place that I have grown to really, really enjoy, and it hasn't been open that long, and it's the Boathouse. And I have eaten, Michelle, we've eaten there. It's almost like a go-to place now. So, I mean, I'd like to put it in there, but I think it's edged out by my second choice, and it's because of something we all call the bread service, and it's Sanaa. It's just very, very...
That's decadent to you?
To me, that's decadent, because especially the large bread service, I think that's important. When I think of decadence, I think of the food more than just the... just the experience. It's the food and the experience. And you're going to laugh, Michelle, when I tell you what the third one is.
Are you going to say
Splitsville? Casey's Corner. No, sorry.
Splitsville?
Trail's End.
That's not...
Trail's End?
I'm not laughing.
Trail's End. If you've
I'm
never,
not following this.
No, I'm not laughing.
Never, if you, you know, I have so many great memories at Trail's End for breakfast and for dinner. It's just such a nice place to eat, and especially for breakfast. I've had so many quiet breakfasts when I've gone down for research by myself, and it's just I just love it, and I think
but
it's
I mean,
pampering.
Are we getting more towards favorites or decadence?
But if I'm going to Trail's End, I'm treating myself, just like if I go to California Grill, I'm treating myself. So if I feel like I'm treating myself, then I'm saying, whoa, I'm really, you know, going all out. So so it was that or the Boathouse, I guess. So
the Boathouse, I will agree with you on the Boathouse. And Disney Springs is becoming something that I think we're going to find in dining experiences that we're kind of missing and lacking in other places on property. Things that are coming to light, and the food that's available now for Disney Springs and what's coming, it's actually some really good stuff. And one of the first places that I went to when I went back on property just a few weeks ago was straight to the Boathouse. And I love sitting outside at one of those tall boy tables, and you're right at the water's edge, and the food, oh yes, the food is decadent. To try the steamed clams, if you like steamed clams, it was probably one of the best batches of steamed clams I've had anywhere on this planet. And it gets a big, huge thumbs up from me especially. But again, Disney Springs is coming of age, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even consider Marimoto. That's kind of
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's one that I would go to.
And the new places that have opened, all these little places, that little pizza place that we ate in August, and a few other, just really, really a dining destination. And as we move away from the East Coast, we head towards the West Coast and the Disneyland and California Adventure area. And Michelle, if we're talking decadent
dining. You know, I've only been there once, but Napa Rose, I think I was with you, and got spoiled by Lynn Testa, and that was a night to remember.
And listening to stories from Sam Genoa.
That was the whole package. But we were outside by the, we actually in true Lynn form did not have a reservation, but they put us out by the fire, and we just had hors d'oeuvres and wine, and I did actually go back there. I did go another time with another friend, and we had a wonderful meal too. So. That I haven't been to Club 33 yet, but that would be the place I would go if I wanted to spoil myself.
I'm guessing you've never been to Steakhouse 55 either.
I have, actually, for breakfast. Oh. I went with Laura and Lee. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but not for steak.
So Napa Rose.
Yep.
Chris?
Is Napa Rose the Italian place in downtown Disney?
No.
What's the Italian place in downtown Disney?
Oh, you're thinking of
That's the Via Napoli.
Naples.
Yeah, the Naples.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we went for like in recent times when we went for the half marathon, my kids were not eating anything. We couldn't get anywhere that they could find food. I think that was the only place we wound up going where they would eat.
Well, you know, that's the sister store via Napoli, the sister restaurant. It's
right.
The same company.
Yep. So that was the only thing that kept us going was that one, which was depressing because there seemed to be other places to go, and my kids and my wife were not having any of them. So I fail at the Disneyland dining. So Becky, you'll have to take over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I may have to escort you next time to make sure that you make some good choices. The Disneyland Resort has a lot of great options as well. Napa Rose does tend to get the most press. It is their number one resort restaurant that is incredible. And I tend to, though, like Steakhouse 55 a little bit more. Just, again, personal choice. I kind of like the menu options that are available there over some of the Napa Rose stuff, because Napa Rose does tend to be a little eclectic in some of its options. And you had mentioned being sitting out by the fire. That's actually a little tip that's actually part of the bar seating out there. And on most nights, you can just walk in and walk right back there. Wow. If there are open tables, you can just go right there, much like you can in the bar seating that's off to the side to the right when you first walk in.
And it was preferable to me. It was lovely because there are trees out there. You can't actually really see anybody walking by. It was like our own little private outside dining area.
Yeah. Mm. And then a runner-up for me, which isn't a meal per se, but something that's very special for Disneyland in particular, for their World of Color, they have a dessert party. And again, plussing things up, making it a little decadent, it's not the least expensive opportunity that you can have on property. It's about $79 a person. But you get a table that you get to sit down at. You don't have a bunch of people in front of you. You don't have somebody putting their kid on their shoulders in front of you so you can't see the show. You get this very large plate. It's already pre-plated of a whole bunch of different dessert options. And then you get two beverages. They have two adult beverages that you can have, and they have a special cocktail that's mixed that you can have up to two of those. You can get hot chocolate or coffee or soda or whatever else that they have available. So that's a really nice option for people who want to do something kind of special at the Disneyland Resort. I've really enjoyed doing that that dessert party. So that's one of those things that, and for some reason my cat has decided he's going to walk right in front of the microphone. Anyway, aside of that, yeah, the most decadent place to go is Club 33. Although it's not the easiest place to get into, you have to know somebody to be able to go in. But once you have eaten there, it's very hard to compare anything else around it because it is fantastic. You can get a wonderful 4-6-course meal with wine pairings that was one of the best chefs that is on anywhere in Disney property. And some desserts that are just incredible. So for me, by far the best dining experience I've ever had at Disneyland has been at Club 33.
Wow.
What about you,
Jealous.
Mike?
Well, Napa Rose obviously was really something. I haven't eaten in that many different restaurants out there. Well, maybe about 10, I guess, or 11. And I've never had any bad experiences. So when I think of decadent, I think of what I would like to a favorite place, and because I don't know about I don't know what the experience would be like at Club 33 because I have never been there. I don't think it would be good for me to say it, but one of the places that I really like, and to me it's a treat and it's decadent and it's probably not a big deal, it's the what is it called? It's in the California Adventure, and it's called the, I think it's called the Wine Country Trattoria. Mm-hmm. I just
Trattoria.
Think, yep. Trattoria. Oh, I'm Trattoria.
Some Italian you are.
It's just, well, I'm from Southern Italy. It's it's just, I don't know, it's just outside, it's warm, the food is that they give you this nice bread, and it's a very pampering kind of a meal. And I know that there are restaurants out there, Steakhouse 55, 33. I know that there are others out there, but I just like that. We've eaten at Carthay Circle, which I thought was good, but I just like that Trattoria, Wine Country Trattoria. So
that's a really hidden gem. Lot of people they walk right past it, not realizing what it is, because they do have what looks like a grab and go on the lower level, but the restaurant's on the upper level. And they do have a bar area off to the right-hand side. So it's a really quiet place that a lot of people don't even realize it's there.
The Alfresco Tasting Terrace, I think, is a place that I always try to go to. I went with Lee and Laura. And they have wines that are from Disney-connected folks, such as, you know...
Lassiter.
There's John Lassiter wine. There's Fess Parker wine. There's one of the Disney daughters had a vineyard. They have really nice, you know, tapas type of meals up there. And I would say that's a little. It's not really. It won't break the bank, but it's kind of decadent and fun to be at a theme park and having like really amazing wine. So that's a fun place. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Please join us next time as we wrap up this decadent Disney discussion. We'll be talking about what we would like to see as our favorite decadent Disney experience. You really won't want to miss it because we really dig deep and come up with some interesting ideas. So for Becky Menken of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, for Chris Aliopoulos, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.